Hi, it's Grace, and this is a special series of Frogmore Stew called Meal Prep. The politicians that run our state government are essentially the ingredients that make up the stew that is our state. And by getting to know each of the folks running for State House and State Senate, we hope to offer you a window into what we as the voters will determine the final recipe to be. Caitlin, TJ, and I took on the task of interviewing as many of the people running for those seats as we could. The interviews offer us a more personal look at the variety of people who want us to send them to Columbia. We learned a lot. We hope you do too.
I'm all set and it started with the meal prep. I'm all set and it started with the meal prep. I'm all set and it started with the meal prep.
Today I'm here with Vic Dabney, who is running as a Republican in District 45 for the House. He would represent Kershaw and Lancaster County. Hi, Vic. Welcome to Frogmore Stew.
Thank you for having me.
So Kershaw and Lancaster County, that's in the central part of the state, but upstate, right? It's close to the North Carolina border.
Yeah, Kershaw County is actually east of Richland and Fairfield counties. I-20 kind of runs through the southern part of the county. Mm-hmm. And my district actually starts a few miles north of Camden, and its boundary is on the east is Flat Rock Road. And on the west side, it goes all the way over across Watery Lake and includes a lot of the northern part of Lugoff. And then it goes up into Lancaster County, a few miles north of the town of Lancaster. So it's 2/3 of the district is in Lancaster County. The other 1/3 is the northwestern part of Kershaw County.
And you are running in the primary against an incumbent, Brandon Newton, in a pretty solid Republican district. It looks like he won by about 67% of the vote in 2022. What prompted you to run?
I ran a few years ago and I won against a local Democrat incumbent because I spent most of my life in the military and I've seen what bad things look like. I just couldn't sit around any longer and not get involved. So that's why I ran the first time. And really, that's why I'm running again. I want the people to have a choice in this district between basically a hardline conservative, which is who I am, versus a kind of a middle of the road moderate.
What do people in District 45 care about most?
Most people, I believe, are fed up with big government. They want smaller government at every level. They want a less intrusive government. And that's one of the main things I stand for. I want my government to be as small as possible. I don't need anybody managing my life more than just the basic functions of government. I think most people in the district, most people that I know, and it's true, I think across the nation, people are fed up with big government. That's
kind of
it.
As a House member, how would you address that specific need for your district?
I would love to be able to freeze the state budget, not just for 1 year, but probably 3 years. Mm-hmm. And that's really the only way to choke down big government is to start cutting its funding. And there's no doubt in my mind that our government can function just as well on the budget it had last year or the year before as it can now. I'm against the budget growing. In fact, I voted against the budget a couple of years ago when I was in the State House, and the Ways and Means chairman asked me, he said, Vic, why did you vote against our budget? It was very conservative. It only went up 2.9%. And I said, my budget didn't go up 2.9%. None of my friends' budgets went up 2.9%. They're all shrinking because of inflation and taxes. And I told him, he's now the speaker, Merle Smith. I said, Merle, if the budget had gone up one penny, I would have voted against it.
Were you the representative for District 45 when you won a few years ago, or were you in a different district?
I was in District 52, which included the area I live in now, and it went down into Camden and over into Lugoff. During the redistricting process, they cut me out of that district, and now I'm in District 45.
You mentioned the budget, and that's more a statewide issue. Is there something a little bit more district-specific?
It is a very rural district, and I think the thing that, of course, I hear mostly is people want better roads. And yeah. I think when I was elected before, a lot of my phone calls that I got from constituents were about road issues. So road, and just say infrastructure in general, that's what people in this district are concerned with, other than the bigger issues like we talked about just a minute ago about big government, intrusive government. They don't like the government telling them what to do. But in this district, I would say people talk about roads.
If you had a magic wand, is there one policy currently in place in the state that you would change immediately?
Yeah, I just mentioned it, and that would be freezing the state budget. If I was king for a day, I would freeze it.
And
let me tell you why I say that. Yeah. There's so much wasteful spending in government. I spent 28 years in the Army, and then I spent another 13 years working for the Army as a civilian flight instructor here locally over in Columbia. Mm-hmm. And I watched year after year the year-end spending frenzy that would go on. It happened when I was on active duty. It happened when I was working here for the National Guard. The last 2 months of the fiscal year, the commanders all get together and come up with all kind of creative ways to spend money. They want that budget to be zero on September 30th. That was the military end of the fiscal year. So I watched that year after year, millions of dollars, even here in South Carolina at the National Guard base, millions of dollars being spent at the end of the fiscal year on the most ridiculous things you can imagine. I could go on and on about that, but the government wastes money like nobody else. And at every level, in the military, Department of Education, DHEC, you name it, they waste money. And a private company could not operate like our government does.
From a state level, you feel like that is that something that if you were able to really get your hands in the different governmental departments like DHEC, you'd be able to spend that money more effectively?
I could walk in, I'm convinced, based on my experience. I'm 66 years old. I've raised a family. I've got 4 kids, very successful. I've got 21 grandkids and 3 great grandkids. Based on all of my experience raising a family and being in the military for those years, and watching how things are run, I could go into any government agency, you name it. I could go into it and spend 2 days and I could find probably all sorts of ways to cut their budget, that they're just wasting money. They're not really doing anything effective.
So day one, your biggest job that you would see ahead of you is to dive into the budget.
And there are lots of social issues that I'm big on, and we could talk about those, but the number one thing that I think that would help across the board would be tackling that budget and trying to shrink it.
And from an infrastructure standpoint, I know you mentioned that roads were top priority. What about things like water and sewer and housing? Is your district having any sorts of housing issues like many areas in the rest of the state?
Kershaw County, especially the western part, has experienced phenomenal growth over the last probably 20 years. And the northern part of Lancaster County, same thing, just exploded. But in this district specifically, I don't see that. It hasn't crept over this far yet. It hasn't made it from the west over here, and it hasn't made it from the north down yet. So this district doesn't really have a huge growth problem.
You should be very thankful for that.
Look, I have to wait to get through a traffic light, if I have to wait 2 times, I get really upset. I live way out in the country, like I said, in a beautiful forest, and I'm very happy where I'm living.
Can you talk to us a little bit about healthcare and access to hospitals in your district?
I haven't experienced an issue, and I'll be honest with you, I don't know of anybody. Nobody's told me of any issues they've had with health care. We're lucky. We've got a really good hospital in Kershaw County down in Camden, which is just outside of this district. And then up in Lancaster, they have a really good, very nice hospital up there. I don't see health care in this district being an issue. I haven't heard of any issues and I haven't experienced any issues.
Mm-hmm. Like for a pregnant woman to get to a hospital is pretty accessible.
Yeah, my wife just had some major surgery and she had it right here in Camden. And a lot of folks raised their eyebrows and said, you're letting the local doctors conduct the surgery on your wife? And I said, yeah, I trust them 100%. I will tell you, I'm a local person. I shop local. I don't buy anything online. I spend every dime I make right here in Kershaw County, and that includes healthcare, everything. I very seldom leave this district or this county for anything if I can't find it, I'll have to go somewhere else. But we are very local oriented when it comes to healthcare, shopping, and all that.
Do you ever come down and visit us in Charleston?
I stay away from Charleston. And the main thing is the traffic. I traveled all around the world. I think I've made 8 round trips to the Middle East. As far as traveling goes, I like it right here. If I stayed right here in this district, I'd be happy. But I used to go to the beach when I was younger. I was that guy at the beach that would swim out so far you couldn't see me anymore. And I'd go way out. I loved the beach. But as I got older, and you'll see as you get older, it's not as much fun when you can't really get out and do the things that you could when you're a young person. Yeah, we don't travel. I stay right here in Kershaw County. I love it right here.
If I interviewed 3 of your closest friends or former military colleagues, what's one funny thing that they would tell us about you?
Probably one thing is I'm that guy that doesn't have that filter that keeps you from saying things you shouldn't say. I'm that guy that speaks up when nobody else speaks up. I'm the guy that will put up with very little BS from somebody. I'll get up and put an end to it real quick.
How does Patsy handle that? Does she say, Vic, stop it?
No, sometimes she does. We've been married 47 years. We've been together since high school, when she was a junior and I was a senior. So we've been together our whole lives. And she just sees it coming. And sometimes she'll grab me like, don't say it. Don't say it. But most of the time I do. And my friends, I'll tell you, the friends who knew me in the military would say, Vic's the guy that will go do what nobody else wants to do, or that will do what everybody's afraid to do. Okay. And I've led missions when I was in Iraq. I spent nearly 3 years in Iraq total. And I was the senior Apache pilot in the brigade out of 400 wow. pilots. And I was the guy that would go out and do a mission when nobody else wanted to do it or thought it couldn't be done. I'd be like, yeah, it can be done. Come on. And I would grab up another crew and say, you're going with me.
The crazy guy from Kershaw County, he'll do it. Put him in there.
Yeah. Some friends of mine deployed to Iraq 4 years after I left. And one of the Iraqi generals saw his patch on his shoulder. And he said, where is that patch from? And he said, we're from South Carolina. It was the South Carolina National Guard, Apache pilots. And this general said, do you know Dabney? And my friend, who was a colonel at the time, he emailed me immediately. He said, you will not believe this. I'm 7,000 miles away. And an Iraqi general asked me if I knew you.
I would say small world, but I think that's distinctive to your personality. The last thing we do is called the lightning round, and it's where you stand on some hot button issues that are hot topics mm-hmm. in the state right now. It's from 1 to 10. So 1 is if you completely disagree with the legislation that is mm-hmm. currently in place or is being proposed. And 10 is that you fully agree with the current legislation or proposed legislation. All right, you ready mm-hmm. for us?
Yeah.
How the judges are currently chosen through the Judicial Merit Selection Committee.
Yeah, I totally disagree with that.
Lawyer legislators on the Judicial Merit Selection Committee.
1.
Term limits for state House and state Senate.
10.
Social emotional learning and the critical race theory limits what teachers can teach in schools.
I would say a 10, but I think it could be stronger. So I'm definitely against critical race theory being taught, anything other than basic reading, writing, arithmetic, and history.
A heartbeat bill /6-week abortion ban that's currently in place.
Yeah, I'm a 10 on that.
School vouchers for all.
10 on that.
Constitutional carry.
Yeah, I'm a 10.
I don't even think I had to ask that one, did I? And last one, medical marijuana.
You might not know this, but I was against that. And I was one of the leading members that spoke out against that several years ago. And we defeated it by 4 votes in the House. And then it's probably coming back. I may have even come back this year. I don't remember. And here's why I'm against medical marijuana. I'm not against marijuana. If somebody wants to smoke marijuana, go for it. Sit on your front porch and smoke it all day long. I don't care. I mean, most law enforcement would tell you the same thing. Stay off the highways, stay home if that's what you feel compelled to do. I'm more of a libertarian on that. I don't really care. I don't smoke marijuana. I don't have a need for it. Don't want to. But I don't want the government running the marijuana business because they will screw it up and it will be a huge boondoggle that the citizens have to deal with. And it would be a mess because the government doesn't need to be running the marijuana business. And that's why I was against it.
Got it. That's all of our questions. I really appreciate you. It's so great to talk to you, Vic, and good luck in your race.
All right. Thank y'all for doing what you do.
Today we are with Nicole Ventour, who is running for House District 45 in Kershaw County. Nicole, welcome to Frogmore Stew.
Thank you for welcoming me. I'm excited for this.
What is it that you do? You work in the mental health services?
I own an agency, The Right Direction, which is a mental health agency. And so again, we provide psychotherapy services. And I took a leave from doing my doctorate in clinical psychology. So I'm certified in trauma. I do EMDR brain spotting. And that suggests of what I'm focusing on clinically. But again, in addition to doing mental health services, because there's not enough services or resources in Lancaster, we go far and beyond, actually provide social support with no type of financial assistance.
That's clearly a very big issue in your district as well. Have you seen that across the state?
I have seen it across. We have clinicians who have worked in the school districts in Charlotte and Columbia, all across South Carolina, Chester, Pageland, Camden. I can go on and on. And there's two huge issues. And those issues are children not receiving the services they need in the schools, teachers not receiving the income, but are required to provide social services and to address all the emotional needs of these children. Then community gets upset saying teachers cannot teach because they can't focus on teaching because it's so many dynamics going on in that school, where schools need to really step up and support those heroes who's there educating our children to ensure that they have the support that they need, that they have the salaries that they need. And in addition to that, we need more mental health reform to ensure that children and adults who are receiving mental health services understand what mental health services should look like. When you have trauma, it's not me sitting on a couch and talking to you about my issues and concerns. That's more CBT. That's symptom management. You can teach me how to manage my symptoms associated with all of these things, but it's not helping my brain to restore itself from a traumatized experience. Again, it's a lot more education that's needed down here as it relates to mental health.
And that really ties in to a lot of different things, right?
Yeah.
There's often a call after a shooting of, we don't need more gun laws, we need more mental health services. But that doesn't typically happen, or we aren't doing that well.
You know what? We are not doing that well at all, unfortunately. I am a huge proponent of the Second Amendment rights. I have my weapon. But at the same time, how do we work to ensure that weapons are in the hands of individuals who want to use them for protection, not to cause harm within our community? And when you add that to the mental health issues, especially, just imagine how many individuals are walking around undiagnosed and not diagnosed, right? And now we have given them access to more weapons by 18 years and older, this new bill that had passed, not allowing them to even register the guns. So again, it goes into so many different things. Education, it goes into domestic violence. 79% of domestic violence fatalities in South Carolina are by guns. So now we have to sit back and say, okay, how do we control this? We don't even know who have these guns now.
And so if you had a magic wand and you won this election and you could change any policy immediately, which one would it be that's already in place?
I love that question. Women's rights. And that's a loaded question because, again, as a woman whose dad tried to force me to have an abortion as a child when I was 16 years old, but I kept my baby. And then he tried to have me to give my baby up for adoption, and I fought him on that. So, again, I should have a right to keep my child. A man should not determine what women do to our bodies. So with that being said, it's not about what I want to do. It's what I should have a choice to do. And then we walk around and we look at gun control. Do we have a right to protect ourselves? Yes, I'm a member of the right to bear arms. But how do we do it in a way that just keeps us safe and that we can have some control over individuals who have access to those weapons? We have to track who's committing crimes because crime is a reality and guns are part of that reality. So again, that's a loaded question because I'm so huge on women's rights, but I'm equally huge when it comes to gun reform.
And do you think in your district that your top concern, which is obviously the mental health and well-being of kids and students, and it sounds like even adults, is that the number one issue that you think voters are looking to their legislator to help solve? Or do you think in your District 45 that there are other big issues that are top line as well?
Oh, absolutely. The big issues here in our community, and I think across America, is affordable housing. And we have a huge influx of homes being built. Again, I feel coming from New York and also being licensed in five different states, I have the experience of bringing a wealth of knowledge and information to Lancaster that could really help to grow it to become a more proactive state. And with that being said, there should be a percentage of homes being built that is allocated towards affordable housing to the lower income bracket. And that's not what's happening. So again, we have thousands of homes being built, but not even a fraction of that, less than 10% are being allocated towards affordable housing. In addition to that, we have a huge gang issue. And I'm really disturbed because it's being shared that Lancaster A+ in terms of public safety, and that's just not the truth. Just in April alone, there were 11 shootings in the county itself, and that's just April. So when you look across these statistics and what is being heard about and what's actually happening, it gives a false impression that Lancaster is more safe than what it actually is. And the truth is, we have a lot of gang issues here. So I have come together with the Department of Corrections. And on June 8th, I am hosting an event where they are bringing this amazing program that they have in conjunction with my agency, The Right Direction, to Lancaster, where we're going to discuss gang violence and educate parents on gang paraphernalia, gang signs. I don't know any of things of that nature. I'm far removed. But a lot of parents are dealing with those things, and we want to get everyone educated, and we want to get those children to the right resources. So again, resources are a huge issue here. And with that being said, no transportation. How do we get from one job to a next job? We have children selling drugs, doing a multitude of things because of poor socioeconomic conditions. So again, those are huge issues in this community, a community where I live, a community where I grew up, and a community where I hope to die.
When you say conditions, what does that mean?
Out of poor socioeconomic conditions. Here in Lancaster, those who are socially economically deprived continue to be socioeconomically deprived because, again, let's talk about infrastructure. There's a multitude of things, not enough jobs here. Let's talk about access to employment outside of Lancaster. So again, a lot of people can't afford vehicles. Hell, a lot of people can't avoid rent. When we look at those dynamics and children being displaced from school and sent to an alternative school setting, and that alternative school setting does not provide therapy, no type of mental health treatment, no type of social worker to ensure that they can integrate back into the general school setting, perpetuates a cycle because they're in these alternative settings only to return right back to the general educational system without having developed any resources. So again, the school just simply perpetuates a cycle. They end up suspending them. They end up getting displaced and they end up being expelled. So this is a history of what's going on in Lancaster. These issues are so multifaceted, I really can't narrow it down to one.
Nicole, let's dive into our lightning round. So the way that we do this is from 1 to 10, 1 is that you disagree and 10 is that you fully agree with either current legislation or proposed legislation in the state house right now. You ready for this?
Yes.
Term limits for state house and state senate.
Term limits 10.
The heartbeat bill or 6-week abortion ban.
Disagree.
School vouchers for all.
Disagree.
Transgender care banned for minors.
Disagree.
Medical marijuana.
Yes.
And lawyer legislators on the Judicial Merit Selection Committee.
Fully agree.
And last thing, critical race theory, diversity, equity, inclusion, the bill that essentially limited what teachers are able to teach. And that has some social emotional learning stuff in it too.
Disagree.
And that's it. You made it through the interview, Nicole.
I'm surprised. I thought you guys wouldn't have to kick me off of here, because when I start talking about children and my community, I'm just passionate about all of that, because our kids are our future. And right now we just have to do what's best by them. With all the social media and with bullying and so much more going on, we just have to make sure we strengthen the village.
Today we're here with Jason Luck. He is running for State House District 54, and that is the northeastern part of the state. Jason, welcome to Frogmore Stew.
Thank you for having me.
Can you tell us a little bit about where your district is?
Sure. So this District 54 is the majority of Marlborough County. It excludes McCall and Clio. And it is the eastern slice of Chesterfield County, going from Brock's Mill all the way down to Cache, and then an eastern slice of Darlington County, going from Society Hill down to Mechanicsville, and then a wee little piece of Dillon County that is west of I-95, adjoining Marlborough County. So it's a big district because we don't have a lot of people, so we got to have a lot of land.
You're not too far from Bucky's.
Not far at all. I have spent more than I care to talk about at the Bucky's. Also, my district abuts Bucky's in many ways. If you leave Bucky's and go the back way, you'll go through Mechanicsville.
So you're almost at the border of North Carolina. What are the major cities that you have?
It is a very rural district. Municipality-wise, the two largest towns would be Sherrall and Bennettsville.
And you told me offline you're down here in Charleston today. Congratulations on your new baby. But do you want to talk a little bit about that, why you're here with a brand new baby?
Unfortunately, I am here because my child had to be born a little early. My wife has preeclampsia, or had preeclampsia, and gestational diabetes and anemia and hypertension. She had a lot of problems. And really, the only place where she could deliver is down here, 2.5 hours away from my district. That's what brought us here. Her OB's here. Now my daughter's here, and she's going to be in the level 2 nursery over at East Cooper for the foreseeable future. She's getting stronger. She's doing well, though my wife just keeps getting more complicated. But the reason why we're here is because there's no hospital in Marlborough County.
I remember several years ago, I think in 2016, there were something like 5 hospitals that had closed in the state of South Carolina. What do you think the impetus was for all of those hospitals closing?
At least when it comes to Marlborough Park, it was finances. The old saying, if it don't make dollars, don't make sense. It was losing money.
That brings me to the question of your district, healthcare available to people. Do you think that's the number one issue in your district right now? Or is there something else that you think is really being talked about more?
I think ultimately the number one issue in my district is just the economy and economic growth. Now, of course, healthcare is the number one issue to me at the moment because of my family. But healthcare does tie into economic development. And economic development can be described and defined many different ways. And to me, it's an umbrella term and it covers a lot of different things. One of those is going to be healthcare, because how do you expect employers to come to your district if you don't have quality health care available? And how do you expect employees to live in your district if they don't have a reasonable expectation of being able to get health care reasonably close? So at least when it comes to health care, it's not just a fairness issue and it's not just a moral issue. It really is an economic issue.
Just to expand on that a little bit, do you feel like the legislature has done enough to get new companies into your district?
They can do more. When you talk about the industry in my district, at least in Marlborough County, which is, again, the majority of the district, we've lost a lot of industry. We do have a couple of large employers. Sherrall's doing well, but we've lost employers. We've lost jobs, and we need to get them back. It's going to take a lot of coordination between not just the State House, not just the legislature, but also our local elected and appointed administrators and representatives. I'm happy to tell you that we've got some good people in charge, especially in Marlborough County. That's where I live and that's where I see the most of. There's some good things in the works in Marlborough County, but I'm not really at liberty to talk about them. But we've just got to stay the course and be patient. In this case, Rome wasn't rebuilt in a day.
And do you feel like it leans more heavy, as the rest of the state does, on attracting manufacturing jobs? Or do you feel like we're equally going after the gray and white collar companies?
We look more at manufacturing. It's at this point the majority of this district, and that's what most of my constituents, future constituents, are really happy and want to get. We're not a tech hub. We are good, honest, hardworking people that want to do a day's work and go home, watch TV and relax and get up and do it again and have a wonderful life. And it's tough to do that sometimes these days.
And from an infrastructure point, are there some highlights you can give us on what you would focus on? Is there an infrastructure issue going on up there?
There is. We've had some challenges in the past few years regarding road closures, especially in Marlborough County, because geographically that's the majority of the district. Marlborough County's had a couple of roads that have been closed since around 2018, and due to some issues outside of the control of the government, private property issues, zoning, DHEC type issues, it's been slow to get these roads reopened. There's some dams that need to be dealt with. Finally, we're seeing some of these roads that have been closed for a while getting reopened and worked upon. We have some bridges that need some work. We're in a state right now in my district where we do need to put the investment in to revitalize, revamp some of our infrastructure. If we can get decent roads to get the employers and the employees going to and from safely and quickly, then the rest will fall into place.
And Patricia Hennigan is retiring from the seat for District 54. She's been in that seat since 2014, 10 years. Is there work that she's done that you would continue doing? Are there things that you would do very differently? How would you look at the next phase of that seat?
The next phase, I would like to think, is a continuation of what Ms. Hennigan has been doing. I'm very grateful to have her endorsement for this election. And she's been in contact with me near constantly about the race and what I need to be doing. And I always listen to her. She's been very good about also going across the aisle and working with the other party, which has to be done. It's not a battle to the death. We're all in this boat together. And so I look forward to continuing that. And I look forward to continuing to push for good constituent service. And also, now that these roads are finally starting to get fixed, I look forward to pushing to get more roads fixed, resurfaced, bridges repaired. It's a slow process, and people are sometimes a little impatient because it's tough to deal with a bumpy road or a bridge that's partially closed. But we have procedures we have to follow in order to make sure these things are fixed properly and safely and fixed once.
And your district does lean Democrat by a little bit. And you do have a primary opponent. And then after the primary, there will be a general and there is a Republican running for that seat. What do you think will distinguish the Democrat from the Republican? Is there something in the district that's kept that seat a Dem seat for so long?
It's partially demographics, partially voting patterns have always leaned Democratic. Will it stay Democratic? If I'm nominated, absolutely. But have to deal with June the 11th first.
And what do you think in your life has prepared you for this job? If you get to the state house, what do you bring to the table from your experience?
I think that all the things that I have been through and all the things that I have done, I think have really prepared me for this job application. Going to Columbia to deal with practically anything that pops up. And this is not amateur hour up there. There's a lot that has to be done. There's a lot that has to be dealt with. And I think, in my opinion, you need to have a very diverse experience. And I'd like to think I've got some of that. I am a graduate of UNC, double major, anthropology and computer science. Worked as a software engineer for several years. Then went to law school, became a lawyer, worked down here in Charleston. I'm licensed in the U.S. Virgin Islands and before the Patent and Trademark Office. I've handled murder cases. I've been a witness in a murder case. I've handled traffic court. I've handled cases at the Supreme Court. Haven't argued there yet, but I've handled them there. One day I'll argue there. I'm routinely in front of all sorts of other appellate courts and trial courts. I'm currently working on one case at the Southern District of New York. I am all over the place. I grew up working on a farm, working in my dad's pottery shop. I think that when it comes to trying to solve problems, you got to have a lot of different opinions and a lot of different ways of looking at the problem. And I feel like so many of the different lives that I've led really give me a chance to look at every problem in a lot of different ways.
So the way that we do the lightning rounds is we wanted to touch on hot button issues, but we didn't want candidates to feel like they get into the weeds with them. From 1 to 10, if 1 is you disagree and 10 is you fully agree with the current or currently proposed legislation, okay? Having lawyer legislators on the Judicial Merit Selection Committee.
I'll give an 8 on that.
The heartbeat bill.
2.
School vouchers for all.
3.
Medical marijuana.
4.
Constitutional carry.
1.
Term limits for state house and state senate.
1.
Okay. And then I'm going to combine a lot of these words, but essentially the social emotional learning, diversity, equity, inclusion, or what some people call critical race theory in being taught in schools.
5.
It was great to talk to you, and we'll catch up with you after the primary if you come out on top.
The meal prep's got me all set. The meal prep's got me all set.
Frogmore Stew Meal Prep is a podcast series presented to help you be a more informed voter for South Carolina. We encourage you to verify your voter information and see a sample ballot for your district online at scvotes.gov. Frogmore Stew Meal Prep is hosted by Grace Cowan and Caitlin Brewer, with editing and IT support by Eric Johnson, produced by TJ Phillips for the Podcast Solutions Network.